Welcome to Auction Talk. Your host is Greg Story, longtime member of the National Auctioneers Association, an accredited auctioneer in real estate and president of Hart G. Auction Service. Now, here's Greg.
Welcome to this edition of Auction Talk. As an auctioneer, you never know what will happen next. A lady called me one day and wanted to sell me her upright piano that had been in the family for years. I inquired if she had anything else for sale, and she didn't. I truthfully told her I wasn't interested in the piano. She said she hadn't even told me what kind it was, and I explained it didn't make any difference because I wasn't interested in buying a piano, even if she would sell it for only $5. Well, this lady found it difficult to understand why I wouldn't buy her piano, and I asked her if she'd tried to lift one end of it and move it away from the wall. Of course, she hadn't. I told her if it was too heavy for me to move by myself, then I didn't want it. Now, over the years, I have sold so many old upright pianos that I can't begin to count them all. 99% of them are not worth anything to a collector, or as an antique, no matter how good a condition they are in. And I have pulled and strained more muscles moving them than anything else that I've ever moved in this business. Well, the lady with the piano pleaded with me that she wanted to sell her piano that had been in the family for many years to get some money for some type of a special present for a family member. The advice I gave her was about all I could offer. I suggested to her to really surprise them and give them the piano. She thanked me for the idea. An auctioneer friend of mine who also does appraisals got a phone call one day from an attorney wanting him to drop everything and rush out to do an appraisal of estate items so they can mark the prices on these items for a tag or yard sale. Well, this auctioneer is more tactful than I am, and the attorney best be glad that the auctioneer didn't give him the answer I would have. After all, a large part of us auctioneers' income is derived from auctioning estates. Another phone call to my office that was fielded by my answering machine one day was from a lady that was cleaning out the home of her father, who was 92. And she wanted us to call her. Well, I got her message within 30 minutes of her call, as I'd been on the other phone. And when I returned her call, I spoke with a man, and he told me that she'd already found someone and was at the house with him now. All I could do was be polite and thank him for thinking of us and wish them success. Think about it, folks. Here was a man who spent 92 years accumulating the things of his life, and here was his daughter, who was probably at least in her upper 60s, who wasn't even going to wait 30 minutes to make a decision on how to dispose of what her father had accumulated. No matter what you do, some people just think that all auctioneers are alike. The most amazing item at a church auction that I ever heard of happened at the Presbyterian Church in Gettysburg, Ohio, a few years ago. One of the items listed in this church fundraising auction was Scotch eggs. Now, I have always thought that Presbyterians were so conservative that their babies were born wearing clothes. And here were those good Christian souls so desperate to raise money that they were selling booze with their eggs. I later learned that a Scotch egg is a clever name for a hard-boiled egg that is wrapped in a coating of seasoned sausage and breaded and then deep-fried. Oh, you gotta love those little church ladies and their cooking. I heard of an auction where a man had come to do the concession stand by setting up his large charcoal grill on the front sidewalk. And the fare for the day consisted of hot dogs and hamburgers. When the sale moved to the backyard, the food man walked around to the back to bid on a lawnmower he'd been looking at. When he came back to his grill, it was nowhere to be found. A couple of men were standing out by a car, and the food man asked them if they'd seen anyone take his grill. No, they hadn't seen anyone, they said. Just then, the lunch man saw smoke coming out of the trunk of their car. "That car's on fire," he hollered. One of the men who hadn't seen anything rushed to the trunk, pulled out his keys, and opened it. Turns out they had stolen the grill and the charcoal fire in it, and had set their own car on fire. The second man involved in this great barbecue ripoff was the first one's brother-in-law. Both were arrested by the police, who were hysterically laughing while lecturing the thieves about how crime didn't pay. This was, of course, after the auction had been stopped and the fire department had to come and get the car put out. Members of the National Auctioneers Association are a tight-knit group. We can count thousands of auctioneers across the United States as our friends. We may not always agree with everything our auctioneer friends have done or said. Such was the case with a friend of mine in Indiana. He was holding an estate auction, and it turned into a miserably hot day, with people continually complaining to him about everything from the weather to the amount of ice in their drinks from the concession stand. The topper was a couple that had driven over 200 miles to bid on some antique furniture. Toward the end of the day, when the auctioneer had had his fill of people complaining about things he had no control of, up steps this couple screaming that he should have advertised the antique furniture as rough. They had cornered the auctioneer and went on and on, tearing him a new body part, so to speak. They even wanted the auctioneer to reimburse their gas money. Why hadn't they called ahead to check the condition? No one knows. Well, it happened. The worst thing any auctioneer can do, he did. He blew up, telling these buyers that as far as he was concerned, they could drive over 200 miles home, stay mad at him the rest of their lives, and never come to one of his auctions again. Now, no auctioneer ever wants to act like this toward bidders, and knowing my friend, I never thought he could ever reach this point. To top it off, these same bidders showed up at an auction of his not a month later. Of course, they had called ahead to check on the condition of the other antiques. They kept a low profile during the auction, but afterwards the auctioneer approached them and apologies were expressed all around. The lesson for all potential buyers is to check on items before you drive hundreds of miles. Now, auctioneers often sell everything from firearms to old metal toys, and the government has strict regulations regarding the sale of such items. Now, a while back a friend of mine attended a gun show and came home with a new type of plastic gun. This thing was made of white PVC pipe, the same type of white plastic pipe plumbers use today. His version is a handheld model, but there are mortar-type versions as well. You can load anything that will fit inside the pipe. Suggested loads are potatoes, zucchini, oranges, tennis balls. Put a couple of squirts of hairspray or starter fluid and touch it off with a charcoal grill lighter and shoot the load about 100 yards, or at least so they claim. It takes a little imagination to think of escalating the ammo to something more dangerous, although a potato shot 100 yards would knock the stuffing out of you if it hit you. With a piece of plastic sewer pipe big enough, you could launch a frozen turkey, which could take out the ordinary police car. This got me to thinking about the future course of our government's regulation. I'm speaking of this so my listeners can be prepared for what I think is going to happen. First off, plumbing of all types will have to be outlawed. Second, nature will still keep calling. Third, if you have stock in the right outhouse company, you'll get rich. Fourth, I'm starting an outhouse company, and you can get in on the ground floor. I think this type of thing sounds pretty ridiculous, but with the escalating government regulations, who knows? But this is the type of things that auctioneers deal with on a daily basis. We all know that everyone is honest. But as we also know, there are a few people out there that will try and get the better of other people at auctions. Such was the case at an auction conducted by a friend of mine a while back. There were a number of mid-sized boxes instead of the normal beer flats that were full of items. Well, one buyer had loaded one box with all the items from all the other boxes that he was interested in. And then he took a marker and placed a large X on one side. Now, this auction was inside, and the bidders stayed seated while the auction staff brought the items up to the front and set them on tables. The auction staff at this sale had caught on to what the sly bidder had done in marking the box he wanted. So in turn, they took about 10 more boxes and marked them all with a similar X on the sides. As the boxes that were marked with X's appeared on the front, the sly bidder would get excited and start bidding. He actually bought 5 of them before he caught on and quit bidding. Now, some people think this might have been a dirty trick to pull on the bidder. But was it worse than him trying to stack the sale to his advantage? Remember that an auctioneer has a duty to the seller, and we all hate bidders who try to cheat a fair market. A lesson to us all came from a small-town police chief who had accumulated a bunch of bombs and other explosive military equipment before his death. At that time, an auctioneer was brought in to liquidate his estate. The security at his place included electronic iron bars and a bizarre physical and psychological deterrent. The latter was in the form of a big dog which looked like a wolf, and which had about a 30-foot chain attached to his collar. But the other end of the chain wasn't attached to anything. Just as any trespasser thought that the dog had a limit to how far he could go before he reached the end of the chain, wham, they got a surprise. Needless to say, the first thing the auctioneer did was make friends with the dog. When the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms officials were made aware of the bunker of bombs, they sent a crew out to inspect and confiscate anything that was illegal. As the auctioneer led the three ATF men around the house to the bunker, here came the dog. The ATF men quickly went into a huddle like football players and left the auctioneer standing out by himself to face the dog. Since the auctioneer had made friends with the dog didn't attack him but went straight toward the ATF crew. The moral of this story is that when you're doing business with anyone from the government and they've exposed their hindquarters, somebody's about to get eaten by a wolf. A number of years ago, an auctioneer that I know was going to sell a collection of very valuable coins, and he was trying to come up with a plan for security. While at this particular auction, the owner of the coins had come up with their own security plan, which was at a rented room in a large hotel. Now, any auctioneer has probably had an instance in a rented room such as this, where someone inadvertently leaned against the wall and hit the light switch, suddenly darkening the room. It's never any problem. It just suddenly startles everyone. But for this particular auction, the owner, who looked and dressed like a fundamentalist Sunday school teacher, came armed to the teeth. He and all of his family had guns. The men, wearing blue pants, white short sleeve shirts, and plain ties, each had a briefcase in which they packed some sort of pistol or revolver. The women, without makeup except for the hairspray which held up their tall hairdos, each had a purse holding a gun. The auctioneer's biggest worry was that the owner and his family didn't shoot innocent bystanders, or worse yet, innocent auctioneers. Right before the auctioneer started his announcements, he had a vision of someone leaning against the wall and accidentally turning off a light switch. The lights going out and gunplay starting flashed through his mind. He announced that they wouldn't be starting the auction for 5 minutes due to a new law stating that they couldn't start the auction until 5 minutes after the top of the hour. He told this lie to give his crew time to put tape over all the light switches to avoid his vision coming true. So remember, if you ever go to an auction and you see all the light switches taped over, be ready to bid fast and then duck. I often speak about hiring a good professional auctioneer to sell your items. Well, one time an auctioneer I know was speaking with a man about doing an auction for him, and his only argument was that a competitor would do the auction cheaper. He didn't take into account the many things my friend was providing that the other auctioneer wouldn't do. He just kept harping about the price. Finally, my auctioneer friend explained to the seller that hiring an auctioneer was like buying oats for his horse. If you want good, clean oats, he explained, you need to pay a little more money. If you want oats that's already been through the horse, they come a little cheaper. Every professional auctioneer will go that extra mile to assure you have a successful auction. Even though there are a multitude of things that can affect the outcome that the auctioneer has no control over. So what does it take to have a successful auction these days? Quite a few auctioneers and sellers feel that every auction needs to attract every possible bidder you can. Everyone except Jackie Onassis and Queen Elizabeth, and cobwebs should always bring at least $30 a yard. Well, that's not true. When you have both buyers and sellers that are happy and haven't had any irreversible train wrecks, then it was a great auction. Now, on a personal note, I will admit that some of my stories today I borrowed from a very famous auctioneer. The auctioneer world lost one of its best recently. Bing Carter passed away quietly at the age of 95. Bing did his first auction as a young man, and for over 75 years, he never tried to do any other work besides auctioneering. He had conducted auctions all over the U.S. and in 4 foreign countries. Eulogies from his friends and many of the giants of the auction world reminded us of Bing's lifelong personal trait of giving affirmation and encouragement to other auctioneers and the importance of treating people with respect. Included in the normal trappings of this Christian gentleman's funeral was a celebration of his life as an auctioneer. The service included recordings of him calling bids and many memories of special auctions. As the casket was carried out, with Bing's silver belly Stetson hat perched on top, Instead of a traditional hymn, the church was filled with Leroy Van Dyke singing The Auctioneer. There wasn't a dry eye in the church. I feel privileged to have known him. Goodbye, Bing. You'll be missed. Thank you, and tune in again next time to Auction Talk.
We thank you for tuning in to Auction Talk. Email your auction questions to Greg at hartg@centurytel.net or call 719-384-4797 or go to hartg.com and click on the Auction Talk radio tab. Tune in next time for Auction Talk.